finds me. So, I'd guess there, Flame concludes. Then half of us check one room, half the other, Lachlan says. Flame, you and I will go to the chief's office, and...
I'll go,
Carnelian says. It's the most dangerous of the two options. No, you need to be in the other group, Flame says. Carnelian is the only one besides me who has any real tech knowledge. I explained to him how to shut down the mind control, once we use the seed to activate the access. Carnelian knows what to look for. You others would just see a big room with wires and think you hit the jackpot.
I'll go with Carnelian to the medical room, I volunteer.
I should go to the chief's office, Mira says. No, I want you near me, Carnelian says.
She pats his cheek. I know, sweetie, but with all modesty, I'm the best fighter here.
I see Flame raise her eyebrows in surprise. Seriously, she is, I say. You have no idea. And here I thought all you wild-loving outsiders were useless, Flame says wryly. Okay, then. Mira's with us.
And I'm with Rowan, Lark says immediately, looking at Lachlan, challenging him to object.
Lachlan only raises his eyebrows. I'll go with Lachlan and Flame, Ash volunteers, and though I'm desperately afraid for him, I beam with pride. Not too long ago, he was a shy, quiet boy. His only close friend was Lark. Physically, he was always weaker than me. Born with lung trouble, he has chronic asthma and other breathing difficulties, which can be set off by stress. But since going to the underground, and then joining the rebels, and maybe since falling in love with Angel, his health seems to have miraculously improved. He is stronger, more purposeful. I still feel the need to protect him, but when I look at this boy, who suddenly seems more like a man, I think, maybe I don't have to anymore.
I'll join them too, Angel says softly, and I know that if there is any protecting to do, she'll be as fierce as I ever could be.
I'm glad my brother found that kind of love. Strange that it took torture, imprisonment, and a bicking civil war to bring them together.
But there's only one seed, Carnelian says. If the medical room is the new control center...
You come and get us, Flame says. We'll take the seed to the most likely place. If you check the med center and it's not there, hurry back to us.
Hurry to us either way, Lachlan says, and be prepared for a firefight. Come to help us hold the place while Flame works, or cover our escape. We've been uncannily lucky so far, but our luck is bound to run out soon. There's no way the chief's office is unguarded.
We listen at the door until we're sure the hallway is clear. Then we split up. The clean bot gives a contented little hum as we leave it to its labors. I want so much to hug the others, to give them a real goodbye, just in case. But it will only slow us down. And I don't need more emotion right now. I make do with a farewell smile at Ash, who winks back at me in return, and sets his school cap at a rakish angle. Lachlan doesn't even look back. He's utterly intent on the task ahead of him. Carnelian, Lark, and I walk as casually as we can toward the medical wing. I want to sneak and creep, but when I look a little furtive as we pass a trio of medical students, Lark gives me a pinch of reminder. Then she starts talking loudly about what a bore it is to volunteer at the center, but how much it will help our careers later. She nods offhand to the medical students. As we pass, I see them roll their eyes at the privileged, elite young people who have everything in life handed to them, even top-notch center jobs. I sigh with relief when they've passed. Soon, we come to the former medical center. Or rather, the current medical center. It is abuzz with activity, people on treadmills with wires on their chests, other people sliding into scanning machines, lab techs checking samples, and bots gliding from station to station. All the equipment looked shiny and new. It was only being renovated after all, Lark says.
We have to get back to the others, I say, and we hurry out. But when I lead the way around a corner, I see several green shirts hurrying down the corridor. I duck back, and we have to hide in an empty office until they pass. It is several minutes before we are safe enough to emerge and seek the others. Once we do, I run, and the others follow. I run because running is the easiest thing for me. I run because I want more than anything to run away from this place of pain and torment, of indignities that reach right into a person's brain and strip them of their most precious thing, their self. But instead, I run toward the danger, deeper into this treacherous pit. I run to the lair of my worst enemy, the person who killed my identity, who stole my parents, the woman who is taking away the freedom of millions. We are in the heart of the center now. The green faceted dome is above us, tinging the bright white walls and floor an algae hue. There are no guards outside Chief Elena's door. That's lucky, I think, as I fling the door open. That's because all the guards are inside. 10 of them, along with Chief Elena. Mira, Lachlan, Angel, Ash, and Flame lie on the ground, on their bellies, with their hands clasped behind their heads. They were waiting for us. They knew we were here. Could Lark have? No. She's herself again. I trust her. There must have been a scan that we missed. Something. Or bad luck. It looks like our team was ambushed as soon as they entered the room. In that short time we were apart, everything went to hell. The green shirts keep their guns pointed at the prisoners. Chief Elena raises hers to point it at me. I don't dare reach for the gun at my hip. If I do, I know the green shirts will open fire on all of us. Then I feel Lark's fingers brush against my flank. No, you beautiful, heroic girl, I want to scream. Don't try it. She's behind me, where the chief can't quite see what she's doing. Under cover of my body, she's slipping my gun out of its holster. If she can shoot the chief, maybe we can rush the green shirts and... I feel the cold gun muzzle against my temple. Poor, stupid Rowan, Lark says, as she presses the gun to my head. Always ready to believe the best about people. A few tears and kisses, and I had you totally convinced. She steps away from me, toward the chief, pointing the gun at my face now. She looks at me, a smile quirking her own face, as she tells the chief, I'm pretty mad at you for abandoning me back there at Oaks. But I don't hold a grudge. Look, I brought you a present. She goes to stand beside Chief Elena. Good girl, Lark, the chief says. I'm very proud of you. Lark beams under her praise. It's over. The troops will destroy the rebels. We'll be brainwashed or killed. Eden will be ruled by a madwoman. We failed. That buzzing in my head grows louder. XXVIII.
You are all so much more ambitious than I gave you credit for, Chief Elena tells us. Particularly you, Rowan. I think I can take some credit for that. You were such a nothing of a person before I went into your brain and tweaked you. I gave you strength and confidence in your persona of Yarrow. And now look at you. You think you can do anything. Unfortunately, your overconfidence has gotten your friends killed. Guards!
I think she's going to give the command to fire, and I step forward.
Don't you want to know how I did it? How you survived the underground blast? Not particularly. You'll just give me some tale about life outside of Eden,
We all know that is a pipe dream. There is only Eden and only us. She sighs. That is why it is so frustrating to me that you don't understand why I'm doing all this. Why do you care what she thinks? Lark asks with scorn. I have a soft spot for all of my experiments, Chief Elena says. Including you, my dear. Every teacher, every parent feels the same thing as they mold the future generation into a useful form. And it is so terribly disappointing when a promising student like Rowan fails so miserably. Why, Rowan? Why did you and your little band of hapless rebels come to my office today? She still doesn't know, I think. A spark of hope igniting in me. She doesn't realize why we are here, or know we have a seed. If she did, she'd gun us down outright. Now, maybe, I can keep her talking. Make her think it is better, or more amusing, to keep us alive. While we live, we might still prevail. We came to rescue my mom, I say, hoping she'll believe it. Lark bursts into uproarious laughter. Do you think I'm not going to tell her? She asks when she's caught her breath. She studies my face. Oh, you poor little fool. Do you still believe in me? Do you still think I'm the old Lark you knew and loved? She laughs again. She's dead. Look at me. I don't even look like that deluded little do-gooder anymore. Do you think I love you? That love conquers all? I ought to shoot you now. She shakes the gun at me, but Chief Elena pushes her arm down. Don't be hasty. We have all the time in the world. And they have nothing. With her free hand, she reaches into her jacket pocket and takes out something small, pinched between her fingers. It is our hard-won seed, the only way to reprogram Chief Elena's mind control. Lark doesn't even have to tell me, though I know she would have. Do you think I wouldn't have my prisoners searched? Do you think I wouldn't put two and two together when I found the seed, and all of you exactly where it can be put to use? Though the chief is talking, I glare at Lark. How could I have trusted her? How could she have betrayed me? How clever of you, Rowan, Chief Elena says. How resourceful to discover exactly what you needed. A seed. Isn't that beautiful? So symbolic. And you got your hands on the very last seed in Eden, the only chance to override my controls and reprogram the mind link to every person in Eden. She holds the seed up, examining it. This seed would put the control in your hands. You could rule all of Eden, make every man, woman, and child left on Earth your slave. Or you could erase the program, freeing the minds of the citizens of Eden. That's what you want, isn't it? She sighs. I was like you, Rowan, long ago. Idealism is an illness of youth. I understand. You believe in the rights of the individual, self-determination, freedom. All very pretty ideas. But do you know what people do with those things? They destroy. First themselves, and then their world. Not necessarily, I say. Not if they have guidance. She laughs. What do you think all this is? She spreads her hands, indicating the complex system that dominates the room, the flashing buttons and intricate circuits that let her reach into the mind of almost everyone in Eden. I guide the people of Eden. No, I mean education, knowledge. If people are given all the information, they make the right choices. Sure, like our ancestors did, Chief Elena scoffs. Before the eco-fail, humanity was at its technological height. They could have made the world a sustainable paradise. And you know what we were doing instead? Spewing out so much plastic that the very oceans choked. We poisoned our air so we could power the screens we stared at all day. We cut down forests for palm oil to give our snacks longer shelf life. And even in that advanced state, we fought wars with everyone whose beliefs differed from ours. With all that wealth and education, we allowed poverty and ignorance to flourish. With the power to create heaven, we made the world a hell.
She's breathing fast, passionate about what she is saying, and her words make my skin crawl. Because she's right. And I know what she's going to say next.
How can creatures like that, like us, be left to our own devices? Like children, violent and undisciplined, humans need a firm hand to keep them in check. To keep them safe.
You're about to kill hundreds, thousands of rebels,
I shout at her. You're not keeping anyone safe.
On the contrary, she says. I'm keeping the species safe.
Ecopan and I have the same goals. Preserve humanity without destroying the Earth. Neither Ecopan nor I care about a few individuals when the fate of the whole species is at stake.
She takes a step closer to me.
You know what I say is true. If I were to stop the mind control completely, if the second child laws were rescinded, if people could drive cars, use all the power they wanted, Eden would collapse. Maybe not right away, but eventually. And with it, the last of humanity. We can't have a rebellion in a closed system. We can't have individualism. I know what I'm doing seems harsh, but it is the only way to preserve our species.
I want to argue with her. Tell her that people can be trusted to make good decisions, to not poison their own environment. We've seen what can happen. We've learned from our mistakes. But part of me can't help but think she's right, in a twisted way. In fact, Chief Elena herself is living proof that humans can't be trusted with technology or power. She bends down and places the seed on the ground. Then, taking a step back, she fires an energy pulse into it, obliterating it in a puff of smoke and a burning stench. Every one of us gasps, and I can tell that Lachlan is going crazy under his forced submission. He's just waiting for his chance to turn the tables and attack. But with all the guns pointed at us, we wouldn't have a chance. And now, our only chance of saving the rebels and freeing every citizen of Eden is gone, burnt to cinder and smoke.
There, that's taken care of. No more seeds in all of Eden. No more worry about little rebel brats trying to interfere.
She checks her watch.
And soon, no more rebels at all. My troops should be at the outermost circle border by now. Your friends will be utterly wiped out within the hour. Now, as for you...
She begins to stroll near the people on the ground. She points her gun at Flame's head, then moves it away.
Do you know, I think I won't kill all of you after all, as satisfying as it may be. At least, not yet. You've accomplished far more than I would have thought possible, and I want to know how. Flame, you had a good job once, the respect of your peers. What happened? Who brought you into this criminal life?
I won't tell you anything, Flame snarls.
Oh, you will. Flame rolls her eyes up to glare at Chief Elena.
No, in fact, I won't. I've figured out how to block all of your mind control. I've had the surgery done myself. Nothing you do can alter my mind, or make me believe any of your lies. My memory, my thoughts, my soul are all my own. Same for all of us in this room.
Except me, I think. My surgery was the first, and only partly successful, because she was still figuring out the process. The There might, theoretically, be a faint Ecopan connection in my blind eye, though none of us have seen any proof of it.
How fascinating,
Chief Elena says. But I'm afraid I plan to get my information the old-fashioned way. Torture. Maybe you can withstand my brain manipulation, but you won't keep your secrets when I flay you, peeling off an inch of skin at a time. When I starve you, then burn you, so that your own flesh smells like sizzling meat, I can torture your body and mind in ways that don't require brain surgery or programming. Chief Elena rubs her hands together in eager anticipation and walks to stand over Lachlan now. She caresses him with the muzzle of her gun. The body is full of sensitive nerves, and I will play yours like a master conductor until you scream a symphony. All of you. Believe me, you will tell me whatever I ask, and more, and beg me to end your life.
This is insane, I scream at her. You don't want to save humanity. You just want power. If you would just think about what you're doing. Don't condescend to me, schoolgirl, she rages, charging forward to press her gun to my forehead. Peripherally, I see Lark shift closer to her. Does Lark want the chance to kill me herself? If this is my final moment, I'll go with dignity. I stand straight and lift my chin. You, I will torture in any way I can, even if all you do is spout nonsense about the outside world. She leans close. I will make sure you live a very long time. Before I'm done with you, you'll watch all of your friends die, one by one. Your mother, too. Your torture will be watching them be tortured. You will die a little more each time I kill one of them. You love them all, don't you, stupid girl? Which do you love the most? She smiles, an evil curl of her lips, and whispers, How about your sickly brother? He is a drain on society anyway. All this time, our best fighter has been biding her time. Outnumbered, with her new friends in peril, she has pretended to humble herself, lying on the ground as if she is beaten and meek. But she's only been waiting for her chance, and she finds it when Chief Elena is distracted by her own cruelty. Everyone is looking at the chief, at Ash, waiting to see what will happen. In an instant, Mira flips from belly to back and sweeps the legs out from under the nearest green shirt. With brutal efficiency, she crushes his windpipe with her elbow before angling herself with a kick that breaks another's knee. As soon as they see she is in action, the others are up too. Lachlan tackles one green shirt, slamming him to the ground and getting his gun. Carnelian lunges for another, and all of us are fighting. None of us move with a fraction of Mira's beautiful, deadly efficiency. There's gunfire now, but it doesn't distract her from her purpose. She's up on her feet, catching a third green shirt's gun before he can think to fire, twisting it out of his hand and delivering an uppercut that snaps his head back. Even before he falls, her leg shoots up high without obvious effort, kicking another green shirt in the face. Then, with her teeth bared in a feral snarl, she turns to Chief Elena, who shoots her in the chest. I see Mira's look of confusion. She's learned a different kind of fighting, a more noble kind, body against body. She knows in theory about guns, but when she thinks about doing battle, they don't instinctively enter the equation. She fights like a panther, like a wolf, with wild passion. She touches the wound on her chest and looks at her bloody fingertips as if she's not quite sure how they got that way. The world seems to grow quiet and still as I see my friend fall. No! I scream, and I lunge for Chief Elena as she laughs at Mira's death. There's a second bang, and Chief Elena collapses even as I try to attack her. Her face is a ruined, bloody mess,
that maniacal smile frozen on it as she dies instantly. She sprawls on top of Mira, and I have just an instant to see the look of rage on Lark's face before she opens fire on the other green shirts. Catching them off guard, she shoots the green shirts in rapid succession until only we rebels remain. Numbly, I look at the death all around me. Victory, for having defeated Chief Elena and her green shirts. Defeat, because a beautiful soul, my brave friend, lies dead. Senselessly dead. The seed is gone. We've won the battle, but lost the war. I don't want to go on, but I can go on. Elder Knight told me that animals and humans each have special gifts. Humans have imagination. We can plan ahead, and so we can create civilization, prepare in summer for a winter we know is coming, give up the now for the future. But with a few exceptions, animals only know now. A wolf with its foot caught in a trap won't think that if it waits, some miracle might save it. It is trapped and does what it must to be free, even if that means gnawing off its own paw. An animal that sees its family swept away in the flood won't give in to despair. It will keep swimming, trying to save itself. No matter what happens to an animal, the struggle goes on. The human in me wants to cradle Mira in my arms and never stop weeping, never leave her side. It wants to accept that all hope is lost, to give up, to wait for the end. The animal in me pushes me forward, numbly, blindly, to do what we have to do. I think everyone is shocked that as I stand over Mira's body, it is not Marshall Lachlan or brusque practical flame, but me that says, "We still have a job to do. We rescue my mom, and we escape from the center. The rebellion goes on." "What rebellion?" Angel asks, looking up at me with livid eyes. "They're all dead, or will be soon. There is no rebellion anymore." "There's us," I proclaim grimly. Lark hands me her gun. "I thought I could be fast enough when the time came," she says miserably. "I never thought she'd shoot anyone. I thought she'd want to take you all prisoner. I should have acted sooner." "What do you want me to do with this?" I ask her as I take her gun. She shrugs. "You can use it on me if you need to. I never betrayed you. Not when I knew what I was doing. Not in my heart, ever. I took your gun and made Chief Elena think I was still on her side. I thought it was the only way I could turn the tables, catch her off guard. I should have shot her right away, but I thought..." Suddenly, she crumples to the ground, a wounded bird. "Shoot me, Rowan. I can't go on like this," she says, with her head buried in her hands. "I swear I pretended to be on her side to help you, but once I had the gun in my hand, everything she put into my head came back, and for a second, I hated you again. I didn't want to, but her voice was there, whispering evil in my head. That's why I didn't shoot her right away. I was so confused. I can't live like this." I think any other person in that moment would have believed Lark was lying. At the very least, they would question, did she betray us? Did she change her mind again and again to try to stay on the winning side? That never even crosses my mind. "Lark, you were my first and truest friend. You showed me the world that had been hidden from me all my life. You helped rescue Ash from the center, sacrificed yourself to the nanosand for my brother. You infiltrated Oaks to save me." I pull her back to her feet, wipe away the tears. "I trust you with my life,"
You might have been manipulated by Chief Elena, but I know that if there is ever any drop of willpower left in you, you will be on my side. I think I'm not completely broken down right now, because I expect all of us to die here today. What hope do we really have? In a way, Mira's death is not a shock. It was inevitable once we chose this desperate course. Carnelian is the walking dead now, all hope stripped from him. I know that he'll be heroic until it kills him, because he has nothing more to lose. And in the end, he'll welcome death. Then it will be me, or Lark, or Lachlan. And whoever is left will carry on, striving and hoping. And very likely die, too. I give Lark back the gun, and take one for myself from a fallen green shirt. I shove it down the back of my pants, another down the front, and take a third in my hand. My mom must be in one of the cells in the prison wing. It's adjacent to the chief's office. She wanted to be close to the prisoners, her victims, so she could... I gulp. I hope with planning the attack on the rebels, she didn't have time to do anything to my mom. Lachlan, Lark, Angel, and Flame take as many guns as they can carry. Flame has the foresight to take Chief Elena's access card. Come on, Carnelian, I say, but he barely glances at me. I see Lark start toward him. Lark, no, I whisper, trying to hold her back. But something in her look makes me release her. She stands over him, where he kneels by his love's body, and touches his shoulder. There's nothing to gain by staying except your own death. If you love her, live for her. Carnelian looks up at Lark. You brought death here, he says in a numb, flat voice. It's your fault my Mira is gone. What can I say to ease his grief? There's nothing, so I bow my head. I hardly feel like I have the right to mourn for my dear friend. I've known her for a few months. Carnelian has known her, loved her, for all his life. And because of me, she's been taken away from him, from all of us. Her bright light was extinguished on what may turn out to be a hopeless mission. She should be buried on a hilltop, under the sun she loved. Carnelian goes on. She should be laid to rest someplace where birds sing and gentle breezes blow. Not this cold, artificial place. He looks down at Mira. That's what I want for Mira, Carnelian says. But I need to do what she would want. He bends over her and kisses her pale cheek. Then he rises, pale but resolute. I'm with you to the end. I'll do whatever it takes to destroy this terrible government, to set the innocent free. For Mira.
For Mira, Lark echoes. She never even knew Mira, but I can see the grief in her own eyes. She feels as culpable as I do. I'm overwhelmed by Carnelian's strength of character, by the sacrifice it takes to leave the body of his love behind in this den of strangers. Wordlessly, I thank him with my tears. No one comes to challenge us when we leave Chief Elena's office. I think it is strange, until I remember how she once bragged about her private space being completely soundproof. She designed it so that no one outside could hear the weeping and screams of her victims. Now she was doomed by her own foresight, and none of her remaining guards have heard the gunfire that ended her life. When we meet no one in the hall, I begin to think that there are no more guards. It makes sense. We are in the inner sanctum of the center. What few green shirts aren't on the front lines of the attack are probably guarding more vulnerable areas. But here, in the prison wing, everyone is so tightly under lock and key that there is no threat. They think the cells are too deep in the center to be vulnerable to attack. So if guards have to be pulled from anywhere to make up for a scarcity,
This is the place that will be left unguarded. We're approaching from a different route than when Lark, Lachlan, and I rescued Ash from the prison cells. But now, on the upper story, I can look down on the scene I once viewed before. Below us is the white lobby area, clean and inviting, with the azure waterfall cascading down beside the shell-like spiral staircase. Some gray-clad bureaucrat walks below, his nose buried in some files. He doesn't even look up, and we make it to the prison wing unchallenged. Is this going to be easy? Now, when it hardly matters, are the barriers removed? I desperately want to rescue Mom and any other prisoners here, but it almost doesn't matter, does it? It's like a final defiant gesture to the system that controls us. You can beat us down, but we won't stop fighting while there is life in us. Maybe we'll even get out of the center. But what then? Be an animal, Yarrow counsels me. Don't think about the future, or you'll be paralyzed with grief and doubt. It's like a party, when you're totally bicking high and you don't care about tomorrow. Just go, and never stop until you crash. I can't believe a party girl is giving me advice that, twisted as it is actually helping me carry on. There's no one at the place where two guards once stopped and questioned us. Only a gate, which slides open when Flame inserts the chief's card. I remember the smell when I step into the corridor, like a too harsh chemical trying to cover up an unpleasant odor. There's an animal scent to this place too, something primal that clashes with the steely walls and scrubbed floors. The visceral smell of fear. This place gets worse and worse, Carnelian mutters. I try to see it as he must see it. Prison is already terrible for us. How much worse it must seem for someone who scarcely knew walls for his whole life. When I was here before, the cells were full. Once, when I came for Ash, with political prisoners. Later, after the underground was burned, every cell was filled with second children. Now, I'm first relieved to see that every cell we pass is empty. That has to be good, right? Then I realize it is because there is no one left to imprison. Except for the Outer Circle rebels, all dissent has been eliminated. The center is so close to total control. Even with Chief Elena gone, one of her minions will probably step in to carry on her mission. Or the Chancellor, until now a political figurehead, will fill the void left by the Chief. Under a corrupt government, it is definitely a bad sign when the prisons are empty. It means the government has won. We finally find her near the end. Flame releases Mom, and Ash and I envelop her with love. This family has lost each other so many times, she whispers. When will it end? Let's go, Lachlan says. We might be able to make it out of the center if we hurry. Hold on, Mom says. We have to take old Leo with us. Who's old Leo? I ask. There are only a couple of more cells past Mom's. All of them are empty, except for the last one. Flame opens the door, and I see a ragged shape crouched in the corner. It's the man from the nanosand cell. A pair of bright, bird-like eyes glitter at me in the dim light. A man with matted hair and dusty clothes watches me as he rolls something around in his mouth. Ah! He says in his strange, ecstatic voice. More ants to carry the seed. I step into the cell and finally see what it is that he's carried in his mouth all this time, hidden from every center official. The thing he said a bird dropped at his feet, one of the many times this madman tried to cross the desert. It is an apple seed. A seed of hope. My skin is tingling when we run back to Chief Elena's office. I can't let myself believe it might be possible.
but hope surges through me like tree sap in spring. Flame isn't one for ceremony, but even she pauses and closes her eyes, taking a deep breath, and maybe saying a prayer to the earth herself before she types in the right codes and gestures for me to lay the seed on the scanner of Chief Elena's control panel. With trembling fingers, I place it in its position. I flinch back as a blinding light scans the seed and obliterates it. For a moment, I think it is a trap, that I put the seed in the wrong place and our one chance is ruined. But then I see a long chemical analysis appear on one of the screens. The system is analyzing the contents of the seed, verifying its authenticity. The faint buzzing that has been plaguing my brain grows in volume. One bee turns into a swarm, and with a dizzying sensation, that constant undertone in my head resolves itself into a voice. Welcome. The voice fills the room. I recognize that voice. It is the same one I heard inside the silver globe that saved me from the explosion. The same whispered voice I've heard inside my head before. Everyone else hears it in broadcast in the room, but I hear it inside my head, too. It is Ecopan. You are authorized to make changes to the system, it says. All prior authorization has been overridden. We're in, Flame says. The system is under my control, at least until the next person with a seed comes along. Carnelian, come here. I need your help, too. Let me give equal access so you can help me with the reprogramming. She settles down with intense concentration to rewrite the program that is controlling the minds of everyone in Eden. Are you going to stop us? I ask, and it takes a second before I realize that I'm not asking this aloud, but in my head. Why would I do that? Ecopan asks in return. You let Chief Elena do this. You'll just let us undo it all? You should know by now that I don't interfere with the affairs of humanity. That's picking nonsense. I only step in when things have gone too far. And brainwashing a million people into compliance and passivity isn't too far? I scream at him in my head. Slaughtering thousands of rebels isn't going too far? I swear I hear the Ecopan chuckle in my head. You're here, aren't you? You're stopping it. At that very moment, Flame cries, Got it! A pulse seems to travel through the air, as if something just rippled through my brain. We look at each other, not sure what will happen next. Then suddenly, the communicators come alive. 20 different voices try to break in on different channels. I hear screaming behind the voices, the periodic report of a gunshot. We need intel, someone shouts. What's going on? We need orders. What are we doing? Where's the enemy? It's the green shirt commanders. Without their mind control, they're now utterly confused. They've woken up from a nightmare to find themselves pointing guns at their fellow citizens, the very people they have sworn to protect. Flame gets on the communicator, broadcasting to all channels. This is the center. All forces stand down immediately. I repeat, put up your weapons and cease all hostilities. By whose authority? One of the green shirt commanders asks. By your own, Flame says. Your brain is free. Now use it. The ants are marching, old Leo sings, capering behind us. We can't see what's happening. We don't know how many people were killed on either side before we stopped the mind control. But I know in my heart that by freeing the people, we've bought at least a temporary peace. Someone has to get out there fast and let the people know what is happening, Lachlan says. There should be a hypertube system that leads directly into the center, Flame says. Let me see what I can find. I feel the awareness still in my brain. Though it says nothing, only watches me. The center's mind control may be destroyed, but somehow Ecopan still has a connection to my brain. as it must still have went to everyone in Eden who has or ever had lenses.
No, I say, looking out over the glittering lights of Eden, this beautiful prison of ours.
We are not free. As long as Ecopan exists, we will never be truly free. We need to destroy Ecopan.
The silence hangs heavily in the room as soon as I utter those words. It's like when a predator comes into the forest, and the entire ecosystem, every bird and insect, momentarily goes quiet, waiting to see what will happen. In the forest, you don't notice half of those little animal sounds until they are gone. The same thing is happening in my brain. Yarrow is silent. And that other presence, one which I hardly noticed, but which seems to be almost a constant whispered echo to my own thoughts, a vague and mysterious other, is now hushed, too. I think that they're just shocked by the audacity of my statement. We've been taught from our earliest days that we need Ecopan. Lark's eyes look glazed. With shock? Mom's face looks blank, too. Even Flame, with her clear-thinking, scientific mind, untroubled by superstition or tradition, has a numb look on her face. Have they really never considered that possibility before? I know it sounds drastic, but...
She's right, Lachlan says, and I think, thank goodness, at least one person who isn't shocked. Ecopan might keep Eden going, but we don't need Eden anymore. We don't need to be monitored and controlled. Humans are natural things, Carnelian says. We shouldn't be at the mercy of a machine, even if that machine is supposed to protect us.
But how? Lark asks.
It might rule over everything we know, but it is still a computer program, Flame says. It is still basically code. So if you could access the code, you could rewrite the program or destroy it entirely, I say. But you can access the program from here, right? You shut off the enhanced mind control.
That's different, she says.
These are localized systems, controlled by Ecopan, but separate from it. I can control all city systems, like transportation. I might even be able to shut down the desert from here. But Ecopan is a separate entity.
She spends some time at the terminals, but doesn't look hopeful when she's done.
It looks like there's some remote location where the essence of Ecopan is stored. We'd have to find that, and rewrite it, or destroy it completely. But how could we ever find it?
We think for a while, but come up with nothing. It looks like this will have to be part of our long-term goals, maybe just a pipe dream we can never realize. We've done something great here today, but I can't help but think it will all be for nothing if Ecopan can still hop in our heads whenever it likes. Elena is gone, but Ecopan is a more insidious, enduring influence. I want to take her back, Carnelian says, as he kneels beside Mira's body.
She doesn't belong in this dead place. I'm going to bring her back to her garden. Her soul will rest easy there.
I think, but don't say, that her soul will rest a lot easier if her body isn't lying under the statue of Aaron Albaz. Maybe we can knock it down, replace it with something more beautiful.
I guess I'll get to work on shutting down the desert, Flame decides. Carnelian, I'll need your help.
Heavily, he rises and tries to pay attention to her instructions. I take over his vigil, rearranging Mira's clothes so the terrible wound is less visible, smoothing her hair away from her face, closing her staring eyes. I'll bring you home, I silently promise her. You are a child of nature. Your heart is in the wilderness, and I'll make sure your final resting place.
Oh, great Earth, can it be? The heart of Ecopan, is it possible?
My prayer to Mira has sparked a connection in my brain. I pull out the notebook and scan the chalky shadow of Aaron's final words. There is no mention in the history books of Aaron having a family. Who else would be his child
but his master creation, the Eco-Panopticon. When he was on the verge of death, he wanted to be buried with his child, with the heart of Eco-Pan. And what is the heart? I look at Aaron's words, the language of Eco-Pan's existence, the code of his creation. Of course, he must be talking about where Eco-Pan's program is stored. I think of Aaron's statue in the garden, a garden with strange, exotic flowers that don't grow wild near Harmonia. A garden with a fountain at the statue's feet. I remember the way Aaron seemed to walk on water. He even gives the prophecy of doom in his last words. When my child is no longer needed in this world, it is there that he will die. With renewed hope, I stand up and slap the notebook on the table. I know where Eco-Pan's programming is stored, I say. I know how to destroy Eco-Pan once and for all. I start to tell them as they gather around. The room is strangely quiet. Flame, I ask. Is it even possible? Flame? She's staring, not at me, but into some middle distance. I exchange a look with Lachlan. Something is definitely wrong. He snaps his fingers in her face, but gets no response. I call Lark's name, but she doesn't react either. They're like blind, still statues. With a mounting panic, I reach to shake Lark out of her spell. All of a sudden, she draws in her breath. They all do. Then, in perfect unison, everyone, except Lachlan and Carnelian, speaks. Activate priority defense mode. They all speak with the voice of Eco-Pan. It booms through the room, through my brain, and with a heart-sickening realization, I know what will happen next. For another second, they are still in a daze, their brains fighting for control. While they are vulnerable, I wrap my arms around Lark, pinning her own arms to her side so she can't reach for her gun. Get them outside! I scream to Lachlan and Carnelian as I haul Lark to the door and shove her out. She falls in a confused heap. Everyone with lenses! I yell. They're turning on us! Eco-Pan is fighting for its life! I grab Angel next. No! She growls at me, in a voice that isn't quite her own. Eco-Pan is sacred! I shove her out too, leaving Lachlan to take Flame. Eco-Pan's control is growing, and she punches and kicks at Lachlan. Sacrilege! Flame screams as Lachlan tosses her out. She tangles with Angel and Lark, and in the confusion, Carnelian gets Ash outside too. Old Leo doesn't seem affected. He's just sitting in a corner, rocking and singing about ants. I slam the door before they can fight their way in again, which just leaves Mom, pointing her gun at me. Mom, please, I beg her. You're not thinking clearly. On the contrary, Mom says, aloud in her own voice, but somehow inside my head too. Eco-Pan has her firmly under its control. You are the one who is not thinking clearly. Outside, Lark and the others are pounding on the door. Eco-Pan is our savior, the one thing that has kept humanity alive for 1,000 years. Eco-Pan is connected to every one of us. Mom, please put the gun down. Think about what you're doing. She hesitates, looks at her gun, then at me, and her face is aghast. Trembling, she puts the gun on the ground and kicks it away, looking at it skitter across the room, as if she can't believe what she is seeing. Oh, Mom, I say with relief. For a minute, I thought you were really going to. Then all at once, her face twists in feral intensity, and she springs on me, wrapping her hands around my throat in a vice-like grip. We will stop you, she hisses as she squeezes, just as if she never loved me. The people of Eden are a hive, with Eco-Pan at the center. We will protect Eco-Pan. We will kill you. As I fight her, I can see the struggle within her. Eco-Pan is vying for control, but Mom is strong.
Her love is fighting the Ecopan's power over her. For now. Her fingers press into my throat. Ecopan is winning. I love you, Mom, I say, and for a second she seems wholly herself again, looking utterly confused at her own hands on my throat. Then there is a whirring sound in the room as Carnelian activates one of Flame's disruptors. Mom falters, and I shove her off me, beating her to the ground so hard she hits her head on the floor. Her eyes roll back in her head, and a trickle of blood rolls across the floor. No, Mom! I weep, cradling her, sure I've killed her. But Carnelian checks her pulse. She's fine, just unconscious, he says. There's so much blood. Scalp wounds bleed a lot, even when they're relatively minor, Lachlan says, as he crouches to check my mom also. You did what you had to do. He stands up and pulls me up too. Now, you tie her up. We have work to do, if Ecopan hasn't shut us out. Carnelian, can you shut down the desert from here? I think so, he says, and gets to work. Rowan, Lachlan snaps. Hurry, before she wakes up. I'm just looking at my unconscious mom in shock. She turned on me, I say in disbelief. Ecopan can control anyone. It didn't even need Elena's programs. I can hear my voice rising to a hysterical pitch. It can get any of us, whenever it wants to. We're just puppets to Ecopan. It lets us imagine we have free will, but it can control us any time it wants to. Lachlan rushes to my side. Not me, he says, as he takes my hands. I never had lenses, so it can't control me. I'm always on your side, Rowan. You can trust me. I take a deep breath. One person on my side. And Carnelian, too. And the other second children, the ones who never had lens implants. At best, a few hundred people who don't want to stop me. That leaves, what, almost 1 million people under Ecopan's control. But what about me? Why aren't I affected? Flame and Angel and Ash had the surgery that was supposed to sever Ecopan's connection. Same as me. They succumbed, but I didn't. Why? Because of me, Yarrow says, and suddenly her awareness seems to overwhelm my own. Let me take control, and I'll keep Ecopan out of your head. She's separate from the Rowan part of my brain, and unconnected to Ecopan. Usually, I make an effort to keep the Yarrow part of me subdued. I, Rowan, never want to feel like I'm out of control. But Ecopan can access Rowan. He can't get to Yarrow. I relax the mental control that usually keeps Yarrow partially contained. Immediately, I feel Ecopan's presence diminish. I can't tell if it is completely gone, though. Or just hiding, lurking. I look out the window to the concentric circles of Eden, the well-ordered streets. There are people on the streets, a lot of them. They aren't going to work. They aren't shopping or socializing. They're marching, directly toward the center. They're coming for us, I whisper. Who? Carnelian asks, distractedly as he struggles to understand the unfamiliar programming. All of Eden. Lachlan stands at my side, staring at the citizen army coming inexorably toward us. Under Ecopan's command, they will stop us. They will tear us apart to save Ecopan. It seems hopeless. Unless... Can you access the transportation system from here? I ask Carnelian. I thought you wanted me to take down the artificial desert, he says. I'm working on that. We need to free everyone, right? Humanity will never be free as long as Ecopan is operational. We've been in prison long enough. It is time for all of us to be completely free. And that means destroying the Ecopan Opticon. We need to get to Mira's garden.
Flame queued up the controls for Chief Elena's private hypertube, Carnelian says. So getting to the Utter